Well, hey, everybody, come on in. Time for church. Happy Wednesday. It's good to see you tonight. If you want to look at your neighbor and say, you look incredible tonight, and I'm glad to see you too. Let them know that. And live streamers, wherever you're watching from, thanks for jumping in on tonight. So as you come in and grab a seat, make sure all the kids are in from outside, by the way. I know that a bunch of them were running around outside. Real quick, couple of announcements. Don't forget, gentlemen, Saturday morning, 9 a.m. right here, we have a little bit of a guy's breakfast happening. We're going to follow up on our month in the book of Proverbs. So come on out for that. There's a sign-up sheet at the back. If you forget to sign up and come, that's fine. We just might be a couple eggs short. But other than that, we'll have some food for you Saturday morning. But please sign up so we can prep the proper amount of breakfast for you. I'm looking forward to that Saturday morning. But also, don't forget, a week from Saturday is the Hoopla Parade. So those of you guys that are involved in that, Kelly wasn't able to make it tonight, but she's got the details. We're still waiting on some details from the town about some certain things. But once we get those details, Kelly will relay it to everybody that wants to be involved in that and when we're going to set up the float, but also what time we're meeting for the parade that day and all that kind of stuff. But also don't forget that last Saturday is not just a parade at noon, but we do have women's coffee. They're a little small group that happens that morning at 9 a.m. So don't forget about that. And Margo's not here tonight. She worked out of town today. She left last night, and she's coming back right now. She took a break from me. But if you know me, she probably needed it. But anyways, so that's why she's not here tonight. But anyways, we're here, though. So how about we stand up and let's worship Jesus together tonight.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide, and I am not a captive to the light. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand. This power that can break off every chain, and this power that can empty out a grave, this resurrection power that can save. And this power that can empty out a grave, this resurrection power that can save, this power in your name, power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your you
Lord, we believe, God, that what you have done, you're going to do again, that we're going to see new things in you, Lord. Lord, let us be the ones who will witness to your people. Let us be the ones who will go out and say that we've seen you do big things in our lives, that we will use our testimony to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Because you are good and that you are unchanging, Lord. That you still empty graves, Father, that you still heal the brokenhearted. And even when we're going through the hard stuff, Lord, the promise is that we don't have to go through it alone and that you're worthy through it all. So we just give you our focus tonight, God. We say yes to you and no to everything else.
Pour out your praises.
stop singing your praise. I'll never stop singing your praise. I'll never stop singing your praise. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. Your praises and blessing and breaking, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of it all, you're worthy of it all, for from you are all things, and to deserve all of the glory, Lord. Give you my worship. still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises and blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises and blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You are, you are. You are, you are. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. Praises and blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. You're worthy of my song. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. One more time, he's worthy. You are worthy of it all. You're so worthy of it all. For from you to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Yes, Lord, we give you all of the glory tonight because you are worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Isn't he good? Through the blessings and the pain, amen. Well, we're so glad to have you here with us. If you would, go around and greet some of your family of faith and kids. You are dismissed.
Amen. It's good to have you. As always on Wednesday, we're giving our parents an opportunity to get their kids checked in the kids' church downstairs. But in the meantime, you guys can prepare your tithe and offering. If you have something to give, and as always, the offering envelopes are in the chairs in front of you. And if not, Mike has some. Just wave your hand around. He'll help you out. And I'll bring this up again while we're doing that. If you were not here Sunday and you live in Urbana and you want to, obviously you don't have to. We have these yard signs you can put out. And they're by the back door, and it just says, We Love Urbana, has our church website. And then this QR code, if you click it, if you do it, it takes you to what we call a plan a visit page, where an email gets sent directly to me and somebody that would like to visit the church. And it kind of lets us know, hey, I'm going to come this day and all that kind of stuff. And I've already had somebody do that. So that's cool. So I think... Obviously, somebody had one of these out because it happened. So anyways, they're by the back door. If you desire to, you can take one. And if you don't live in Urbana, you can still do that. But then it looks like you don't love your city. So whatever, it's your choice. I want to get your house egged or something like that. So but that's up to you. All right, so tithe and offering. How about this? Can I have somebody pray over offering tonight for me? Any volunteers in the house? Anybody want to step up to the plate? You want to pray over it, Lori? Yeah, stand up right there. Lori's going to pray. When she's done, you can bring it down to the baskets, please.
Father, we ask that you take our blessing and use it. Use it for your good, Father. And we thank you for all that comes in the storehouse. And we thank you for all that goes out in your name, Jesus. And we ask for
Amen. Thank you. All right. By the way, I forgot to even say something Sunday. We had fun bowling last Friday.
Yeah.
It's a good time. If you ask me how I did, I'm not even going to tell you. It's not because I don't want to brag. I did terrible. So that's the way that goes. But it was a fun night, and we had a good time. So I was glad those of you that make it. If you missed it, we do it every year. So you jump in next time. And if you're like me, this gives you, since you know we're going to do it next year, you have an entire year to go practice and then show off when we get together that night. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you get the center lane so everybody can see you. And then if you do that, you'll probably gutter ball the whole night. That pride catches right up to you, right? Hebrews 11, if you have your Bibles, we're still in the great chapter of the heroes, called the heroes of faith. In the Bible, and we're going to be here for a little while on Wednesdays, by the way, and I'm having fun with this. I enjoy this this time in here. Remember, faith, without faith, it's impossible to do what? Please God. And all of the people that are drawn on in this chapter on faith are people that please God because of their faith. Counted as righteous before him because they live by faith. That belief, trust, and that faith that then formed and shaped how they lived, their response was a life of faith. So that's what we're looking at here. So we're going to jump right in there tonight. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. So we're all the way down to this guy here. You may have heard of him. His name is Noah. All right. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning the events yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. And by this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. The little one verse section, couple sentences about Noah, and then next week, it goes, by faith, Abraham. There's a whole lot about Abraham in this chapter, so we're heading to Abraham next week. But Noah tonight, again, by faith, being warned by God concerning something God told him was going to happen, He responded by building an ark. I know a couple of you guys were at the ark thing this past weekend. Anyways, down in Kentucky. It was in Kentucky, right? I've never been there, but I heard it's good. And in building this ark, he saved his household. But this action of faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So we'll read the story. As we've been doing, we've been reading this going back to the actual story we find in the Bible. So Genesis chapter 5. And Noah, about Noah goes, and the ark and the flood and all that, it goes chapter 5, 6, and 7. And so forth, even 8, I think. But God spoke something to Noah that maybe to other people would have sounded absurd. That he was going to deluge the world because of the wickedness in the world. And he commanded Noah, he gave him instruction to build a big, giant boat to save himself and his family and even remnants of creation as they would come, animals and so forth, because though God is a God of judgment, he will not completely wipe out the creation that he made. So the story goes like this. Genesis chapter 5, verse 28. It says, when Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah. And out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. And Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. And thus the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And again, that number 7, completion, and leading into the story of Noah, as we know what happens with the judgment with the flood waters, that brings a completion to this time, but also then that God is propagating righteousness in the world through what he's about to do. Verse 32, and after Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Let's jump right into chapter 6 and verse 1. When man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw the daughters of man were attractive, and they took them as their wives, as they chose, any they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh, his day shall be 120 years. And it's kind of an interesting thing. So if you're reading in Genesis up to this, these people were living hundreds of years. And it seems like at this moment, God intentionally shortens the years of the lifespan of man. And the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. And these were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. Now, I'm going to stop there, and I'm just going to say something about this, okay? This little passage about the sons of God and the daughters of man and the Nephilim. Okay. That little passage right there has taken on a giant life of its own because it's very ambiguous about really what this is talking about. Who are the sons of God? The daughters of man, well, we would think they're human women. And, of course, we have the Nephilim, as we know. In Numbers 13, it talks about the Nephilim there, and it says there that they were of great height. In other words, people have said, well, these are giants, okay? Well, we know the story. There's Goliath, and there are stories in the Bible of people of great height. Here's the thing. The Bible doesn't give clear answers as to who the sons of God here are in this. And again, this thing has taken on a life of its own. And if you want to go down that rabbit hole, you can find 100 answers as to what that is. It could be that literally these are the sons that are of renown, royalty maybe, or they've done great exploits, and they've come together, and they pick women to be with, and they had children, and so forth. It's put out there and that's drawn from outside biblical sources of Jewish writing that they draw from, that these were actually spiritual beings, maybe fallen angels that have come, and now we have, and if you're going to go down that road, then you're going to open up the can of worms about whether or not spiritual beings can have those kind of relations with a human being, okay? And they say that the Nephilim, the giants, are the offspring of these fallen angels and coming together with these women, and it's a race that God desired to wipe out from the earth in the flood. Because this kind of stuff's out there, okay? They draw that from, again, outside Jewish sources of writings. So it could be these are stories of mythology or things that maybe some Jewish people believe. But the problem is that there's no explanation in the Bible that explains it. And the outside sources they draw from don't actually 100% agree across the board. So anything that's said about who this is speculation in a lot of sense. But here's just a little interesting side note, is that when it comes to demons that we find in the Bible, evil spirits, there's just the assumption they're all fallen angels, but the Bible never clearly states that entirely. And the outside sources that would say that these sons of God are actually fallen angels, that demons are actually the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim who were destroyed in the flood. So again, these are rabbit holes. I'm just telling you the stuff's out there. And the reason I tell you, whenever I say something has taken on a life of its own, that's my warning to you to be careful. You can go study this stuff, but the reason that it takes on a life of its own because the Bible doesn't clearly say this, so just be careful of what, and I'm not denying or affirming any of that. I'm just saying if you were to deal with this, it's out there. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Okay, so anyhow. So this is happening, and verse 5, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intention of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man who I have created from the face of the land, and man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Let's see. Let's jump down to, let's go to verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight. The earth was filled with violence. Violence is a part of the corruption of the earth, by the way. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark. Cover it in the inside and without with pitch. And this is how you were to make it, the length of it, and it gives the dimensions of it, and all these different things. Verse 17. For behold, I will bring a flood on the waters of the earth to destroy all the flesh which is the breath of life under heaven, and everything that is on earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark and keep them alive with you, shall be male and female. Okay? Now, all that is said, go down to chapter 7 and verse 11. Chapter 7. Now, I know we're skipping around, so please go back and read the entirety of this. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were open, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And that 40 days shows up quite a bit in the Bible. So, God saw the wickedness of man in the world. He was grieved by it and decided to bring judgment upon it. But yet, in the midst of the wickedness, he found a righteous man who is living by faith, and his name was Noah. And by the faith of Noah, God offered Noah an opportunity to save himself and his family. Build an ark. See, what Hebrews is saying is that Noah, in faith, responded to something yet he did not see. That's the definition of faith. I live by faith and not by sight. Believing in what I cannot see, having conviction of what I hope for. Definition of faith. So Noah simply heard something that God said he was going to do. Listen to me. And entirely changed the course of his life to do it. And those of you guys that have been to the Ark experience in Kentucky, and you see the size of this boat, he didn't build this thing in a couple days. It's actually been, and again, I'm not propagating this at all, but again, if the internet's a dangerous place. If you jump on the internet, you'll find places that say, well, the reason Noah could build that because he himself was a giant. Anyway, so there's just stuff out there like that, all right? But anyhow, and then we know then the story is the floods come. It does this for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness. It's a time of proving and cleansing in a certain way and building up to the next thing. And then the flood comes and then they're on the waters for a long period of time, and finally it looks like it's receding. Remember, he sends out the raven, the crow, and then doesn't come back. Then he sends a dove out, nothing. Dove comes and then doesn't come back, you know, and the whole business. And now we're on dry land, and they open, and they go, and the Bible says they replenish the earth, and God establishes a new covenant that I won't do that again. And the sign that I won't do it is the what?
Rainbow.
The rainbow. So we have a man living by faith is able to escape the judgment of the wicked and be in a new covenant with God. You see the pattern there. This is what Noah is showing us and setting forth. So in Noah, we find a man of great obedience. See, faith is only enabled to be lived because we simply obey what God has said. You see that? Noah could have been like, I just don't really think this flood's going to come. Well, however it is, the earth is going to destroy the earth. I don't think it's going to come. And I certainly ain't going to waste time building this big, giant boat. I got things to do. I've got fields to plant, to harvest. I've got a family to take. You see what I'm saying? I mean, he literally had to obey and change the entire course of his life. Now, what's kind of interesting is how we read things into the text. Nowhere in the text of Genesis does it say that people were ridiculing him and making fun of him. It's not there. You read. It's not there. That's something we just assume happened. All right. Now, 2 Peter, I believe, chapter 2, calls Noah a herald of faith, a preacher of faith. So we draw from that to assume that he actually maybe shared this message, that God had told him what was going to come. That sounds fair for the people there, right? The chapter after that, it talks about the return of Jesus, but before that day, there'll be scoffers, you know. Well, we draw from that because they mentioned Noah in the chapter before. Peter's writing that, well, there were scoffers at the time of Noah. But in the text itself, it doesn't say that. We just assume that people are like, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. Why? Because God's going to send a flood. You're crazy. And they make fun of him, right? But where Jesus actually draws from the story of Noah is Matthew chapter 24, if you'll turn there. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37. But let's go to verse 36, I'm sorry. Matthew 24 and verse 36. Talking about his own return someday. But concerning the day or the hour, but nobody knows. Not even the angels of heaven nor the Son himself, but the Father only. For as it were in the days of Noah, so it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, and one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. So Jesus compares his own return at some point with the story of Noah. That although we had this guy building this boat based on a word from the Lord, people were unaware, for some reason, that a judgment was coming that involved destruction. And they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving themselves in marriage, working in the field, working at the millstone, when it came suddenly. Now, again, whatever we think how the flood happened, the Genesis story says it opened up. It could have been that fast. Boom! I don't know. Again, you see the movies, and Noah's on the boat, and a raindrop. You know what I'm talking about? And then it starts to drizzle a little bit. And he's running in the boat, pulling up the thing. Everybody's laughing at him. We really don't know how it happened. But Jesus said it came in such a way that they were unaware. And they were not able to save themselves. So it is the same at his return. See, Noah living by faith shows us some things. Okay? First of all, in chapter 6 and verse 8, we don't have to go back there, we read that Noah had favor with God. Why did Noah have favor with God? Because he lived by faith. I want to be in favor with God. I don't know about you. I want to be the kind of guy that he can talk to and say, hey, I'm just telling you about what's to happen. Because I want you to be prepared. I want to have that kind of favor. But it takes living by faith. I think God had a good idea that Noah would obey him because of previous experience with him. And I want to be in the favor of God by living by faith because faith pleases him. But that shows up because we are people of obedience. Noah teaches us that faith means obedience. Listen. Even if your own mind, it seems absurd. There's nothing reasonably logical about reorienting your entire life to build a big, giant boat, and somehow a bunch of animals are going to walk over and get on it. That's a total dependency not on the Word of God, that God will just simply do what he says he will do, regardless of what it looks like in your rational brain. You know, here's one of the easiest examples I can give you. I believe in tithing of my income. Amen. Not because of the law. I believe it because of Abraham and Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the prototype of Jesus. He's the foreshadow of Jesus. Abraham had the spoils of war. He brought him 10%. That's long before Moses and the law. I believe it's just simply a good practice. Right? And I believe it's a practice that teaches me dependence upon him. But let me tell you something. To somebody that is not a believer or trusting God that way, to know that I'm trusting him that I would give straight out of the box before I do anything else 10% of my income that comes in, that seems absurd. Because 10% of your money, it's actually, when you add it up, it's quite a bit of money. See that? There was somebody that I knew at another church that left the church and got mad, and they literally went back in their life and added up all the money they gave the church. They came back and said, you owe me, and throughout, and it was a pretty large amount of money because they had been a faithful giver to the church. And when you, if you were to do that, you would think, I've given some money to the church, man.
Yeah.
And then you start thinking about all the other people you helped, and wow, why would you live like that? It's absurd to somebody that doesn't believe. It's absurd when inflation, well, it got cut today, amen, but it's absurd when inflation is so high. Why would you do that? It's just a principle that's a good idea that God throws out there. So I live by it. You see what I'm saying? It trickles down to obedience into all areas of our life. To believe that God exists to some people is absurd. Is that true?
Yes.
To believe that there's a God that tells us right and wrong to some people is absurd. Right? But yet here we are living by faith, in turn then obedience. So that's the first thing. Noah teaches us obedience. The second thing Noah teaches us is that there is a judgment that is coming. That's a foreshadow. You know that. See, for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, when Jesus returns, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But for those that are not in Lord Jesus, the Lord coming again, it's a time of judgment. That's why faith and obedience is important. God will not destroy the earth again like he did, but he is coming to make a new heaven and a new earth. And in those times, all things will be judged according to his righteousness. You see that? And Noah foresaw that in faith, that God said it, he believed it. I believe in such the same way. That not only did Jesus die, not only he raised from the dead, but he is coming again.
Amen.
To judge the living and the dead. You see that? Now, in the passage in Hebrews, it says that Noah condemned the world by what he did. Now, remember Jesus in John 3:17, it says that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. But what happens is Noah, by living in faith and the actions of belief in the judgment that was coming by the water to build the ark, he condemned those who did not believe and would not live by faith. In the same way, so one of the reasons that people get upset at Christians is because by the way that we live, it just makes them mad because it brings a certain condemnation on the way that they live. You're not to condemn the world. That's not your job.
Right.
You're not to judge the world. That's not your job. Is there judgment within the church? Yes. But the world, my job is not to judge the world. Right? He's going to do, well, I just want him to hurry up. Let him do his business. Okay? And by the way, let me just root this out. This could be somebody's brain in here. Let me just pull this out by the roots. The flooding of the world and what happened because of it is not any reason for Christians to think that they can be violent towards the world. Let's just pull that out of our brains. When God does these things, he does it in his perfect justice and righteousness, none of which any of us contain in our hearts. Let him do his job. See what I'm getting at? But there will be a judgment of the world. And Noah teaches us that. But those that live by faith, the ark has come. Jesus is our salvation.
Amen.
And where there's the separation of judgment, well, we are in those who receive eternal life. See, that new covenant of I won't do this again, and the rainbow, it's a covenant. In the same way, our salvation is in Jesus, in his new covenant. that we will be spared from the wrath of the judgment of this world. Amen. Which, again, the Genesis story leaves it a little bit ambiguous to Noah's relation to those that were around him. But the fact is this. It goes back to what we're talking about in this series on Acts on Sundays. If you really actively believe, listen, you really believe that Jesus is coming again and will judge the world according to sin and righteousness, listen, that is a big, giant deal. And if we believe it's eternal, as the scriptures speak of, that is a huge, giant deal. That we would have the heart to be on mission with the message of Jesus. Because he is the only way to be saved. There's not going to be another boat out there. And God is going to save his creation. He's going to make all things new. But he desires for all people to be saved. You see that? And that we would have an urgency. So again, I know I say this a lot. Bear with me. I know I'm repeating here. Every generation always believes that my generation, Jesus is coming back. I've been hearing it since I was a kid from a lot of people who've since passed on. Yeah. But we don't know the day or the hour. Amen. It could be this generation. Yeah. And I always wonder the reason we don't. I know this is not the answer, but just my little brain. Just bear with me for a second. That one of the reasons we don't know the day or hour because we just be really lazy about it. Well, he said he's coming back in 2037. I got 13 years to get right with him. I'll go do what I want because I know he'll forgive me. And I'll tell everybody I love 2036. You see what I'm saying? Maybe there's a built-in urgency because it could be in the next 30 seconds. And if the message of Noah speaks to us, judgment is, listen to me, judgment is judgment. It's not a candy-coated judgment. The sin will be purged from this world one way or the other through the forgiveness of sins or that God takes care of it. Amen. You see that? It's going to get taken care of. It's not going to be in the new heaven, new earth. It will be taken care of. That we would share the gospel message with those that need to hear it. You see what I'm getting at? So the story of Noah speaks of a life of faith, of obedience, but it also speaks to the message of, well, yes, this world is headed to an end. I'm thankful Jesus has found me. And did whatever he had to do to get me to respond to him. Because I was a bugger. But then I'm just not satisfied in my own salvation. You see? Then we do something with this. So yeah, it's a fantastic story. You can read it all the way through. And there's even a kind of ending note to the story of Noah. It's really weird about him getting drunk and he was naked in the tent and his sons respond. I mean, it's just a kind of an odd ending to the story of Noah. But the focus in the ark and the animals and all that stuff is simply a life of faith, of obedience, and there's judgment that's to come. Amen? All right, share Jesus with somebody before Sunday. Do you take your phone out. Shoot somebody a text. Did I ever tell you that Jesus is my Savior? ? Open the door. Not that hard. You have a cousin you haven't talked to in a long time. Hey, how are you doing? If they text you back, I'm doing good. Can I tell you about Jesus? I mean, you go out to eat, your waiter or waitress, hey, I know you've given me the bill here. Anything I can pray for you about before you head off? You open the door. You don't gotta stand on the chair somewhere and start screaming at people in the room. That doesn't work anyways. Share. Because, listen, it's a big deal. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, I pray we have an urgency in our heart. Lord, we see some of these fantastic stories of wondrous things about floods and big boats and animals coming and all this different stuff and incredible stories that bring some very straightforward truths. Yes, we are to be people of faith, live by faith, please you in our faith. But our faith turned to actions of obedience. And we don't just say we believe, but now what's happening with our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we are people that simply do please you because of our life of faith. And I pray, Lord, that we have opportunities, that you open our eyes to see and our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying in these moments, to be simply a gateway for you to grab hold of somebody's hearts. And I pray that we don't miss them. And I pray, Lord, that there's a certain sense about that's really being a light in this world. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for our salvation, but Lord, I just do not desire to keep it to ourselves. That we are really, truly ambassadors for this new creation that we have found in our lives because of your incredible work. So we praise you tonight and we worship you tonight. In Jesus' name, we all say.
Amen.
All right, we're still in Acts on Sunday. Next week, we'll be in Guy Abraham. Looking forward to that. Have a wonderful week. Invite somebody to church Sunday. Have a blessed end of the week.